Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
One of the things that came in, and it certainly resonated with me and my own personal family history, was, "Hi Kira, I wonder if you could help us. My dad was very recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's only 71. We are a very close family. My mum is absolutely devastated, as are my two brothers and I. We noticed dad was becoming forgetful and confused more frequently. At the beginning, you wouldn't even notice. He might take longer to tell you something or repeat a story shortly after telling it. But as time went on, it became more obvious. And then there were more other obvious signs and incidences. The diagnosis took a while, and in a way, it's almost a kind of a bit of a relief to know what's wrong with him, but it is still devastating news. He is in the early stages of his diagnosis and most of the time still very much himself and very lucid, but at times he's not himself at all. We are all scared and heartbroken and we don't know what to expect or how fast things will change. And we don't really know how to talk to him about it. We are particularly worried about our mum. She's really struggling to accept his diagnosis. Her mood is very low and she has been anxious for the last couple of weeks, understandably. But how can we help her too? We are probably expecting the worst and the unknown aspect of what comes next is difficult. Have any of your listeners been through this same thing and do they have advice? Please don't use my name as my family listen and they are very private." Have you been down that long road? Have you been in a similar situation? Are you in one at the moment? Is a member of your family, are they struggling with dementia and are you struggling to care for them as well? It's a huge issue for families around the country and I speak from personal experience on this one. But 53106, that's somebody, this is new to them and they are afraid of the journey they're about to undertake. If you have advice, that would be much appreciated. And we'll come back to that. I think that's an important one and we'll come back to that a little bit later on.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Now, you're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live with Kira here in News Talk. 53106 is the text and we are live. We are unscripted. It is Friday. I read out an email at the start of the show from a listener whose dad has just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and they are devastated and they are looking for advice. Kira, I and my siblings have been caring for our mum after our dad passed away a few years ago. There are 1,000 questions and as many answers to that person's message. The first thing to say is you are not alone. There is lots of support available. Your show is too short to discuss all aspects, but I strongly recommend they contact the Alzheimer's Society where they will receive the best advice and support. You can give them my number in the meantime, but the Alzheimer's Society is the place to go. Another one here. Kira, my dad had vascular dementia and with more recently a diagnosis of MSA PSP. Yes, it is heartbreaking and devastating as you're grieving for your dad. The hardest part is accepting this news. My advice would be very kind to yourself along the way and treasure all the good times with your dad. That's great advice.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Joining me now on the line is someone else who knows this road, former Minister for Justice, Nora Owen. Nora, you're very welcome and I'm delighted to talk to you about this.
Good afternoon, Kira.
You have spoken to me and other people before about your husband, Brian, who has been living with dementia for 15 years.
Yes.
If you could go back 15 years to the beginning where you first got the diagnosis for Brian, would you relate to that email we got in?
As I listened to that person's email, it brings it all back to me because it is a frightening situation. And I know there are times when I would close my eyes at night and couldn't get to sleep and kind of think ahead 2 years, 5 years or whatever number of years you could bear to think ahead. But what I'd like to say to this family, it's not as frightening as you think in the sense that there are lots of helps out there. And also, depending on what format of Alzheimer's dementia this father has, there are lots of good years still ahead. Like Brian and I still went on holidays. We went to the movies. I continued to play bridge. We went walking. We did all the normal things that we were doing in our life. But what you do is you gradually make little changes to the way of doing things. So, for example, you make sure that you have always a key somewhere outside of your own house. We used to laugh about it. Brian used to lock me out in the garden several times because he was very good at going around and locking the doors. And if I was out doing something or hanging out the washing, I'd suddenly find I couldn't get back in.
Right.
And he'd be gone back inside and wouldn't hear me calling. So there are little things like that there. But the first thing that I think this family has to do is to recognize that they don't have to tell the whole world about their father's diagnosis. If they're living in a town or a village, they may need to tell a few people who live around them in case a little bit of wandering starts.
Yeah.
Now, people can start to wander, and you need to know that there is somebody who might see him coming out and would just give you a ring or nip over and say, "Hello, John, you know, come on,
yeah,
come on into my house for a cup of coffee." And another quick tip I would give them is to make sure that they have his name and a phone number in every jacket, just on a little bit of paper that he doesn't know about that's there. Because if by any chance he did wander and he got lost, somebody might look to see what identification he had on him. So I put little bits of paper with my name and Brian's name and my phone number on it. Never had to be used, but I always felt a little bit more comfortable
yeah.
with that kind of thing.
These are great practical tips, actually, Nora.
Yeah.
Very, very good. One of the things I felt with my mum had dementia and you know, it progressed to the stage where she didn't know any of us and all
yeah.
of those kinds of things. And she became really nonverbal towards the end. So it, you know, it went from her being her entirely to her
yes.
being kind of gone entirely.
Yeah, which is where Brian is now. Yes.
Yeah, and it is very hard. But along the way, first of all, it kind of creeps up on you. So it isn't as awful or as shocking, I think, as people think.
No, it isn't.
We still had, and I know it's going to sound weird, but we still had fun with my mum because she kind of was still a very humorous.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a cheery person.
Yeah.
And bits of things, you lose lots, but bits you keep.
And
I think you cling on to those bits.
And I mean, my Brian was a lovely singer and we joined the Forget Me Not
yes,
choir.
Yes, you did.
But the reason why I say there's no need for every person in the town, village or estate that you live in to know, because people can create, treat somebody a bit differently. You
yeah.
don't really physically change when you have dementia, Alzheimer's. Brian looks pretty much the same as he did, except he's older. And so, you know, when you go out for a walk, you don't have to start by saying, "By the way, my husband has Alzheimer's." You just chat away. If somebody notices
yeah.
that he's not hearing, sometimes I used to say, I'll be frank with you, I used to say, well, and it was true, his hearing isn't great, so just say that again, you know. And so don't put yourself into a position of sort of that you have an immediate invalid right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And another very important thing, because this girl says her mum is really very distressed, very important that if the mum has things she does, whether it's I play bridge, so my two sons used
yeah.
to take it in turns to let me out to play bridge. Like if she plays bridge, bingo, walking,
yeah.
exercise, to make sure that the family works out a way in which mum still can go and do those
yeah.
things. And she'll only relax when she's out if she's happy that one of the children or somebody is sitting in the house, because she will get, I used to get worried unless I knew, I wouldn't leave Brian. After a few years, you can leave Brian all right for a few years, but after a few
yeah.
years, you wouldn't enjoy your outing if you were anxious that maybe he might put the cooker on. Brian, I wouldn't let Brian put the cooker on. And another, you know, another thing that I have to say has to be done, and they really have to do it fairly soon, is just look at the legal implications.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're all at this
advice.
Now because of pandemic. Make sure there's a will, but more importantly, a thing called an enduring power
yeah.
of attorney. So they do need to go to their solicitor, because you can't do that if the dementia is gone too far. The person has to be able to agree with the doctor that they understand what's happening.
And
you know what you
very
do, Kira?
Good advice, yeah.
Both of you do it. I did one as well, so that the husband isn't thinking this is something
yeah.
because of I'm wrong. The mother does it for herself and the father does it for himself. Because to be honest, once you reach nearly 60 years of age, we all should have those enduring powers of attorney. And only 6% of the population have them in the country.
Yes.
And that's very. Now, I gather after this pandemic, there'll be a lot more wills written and a lot more enduring powers of attorney done. But those are practical things they can do now, and make sure they have a, you know, a regular 6-monthly appointment with their specialist. And the other thing that I did, but it took me a few years to do, I actually contacted the local health service, health clinic, just so they knew there was somebody in my house with dementia, because there are facilities that can be provided free of charge. I didn't take them as it happens, but they can get, you know, an hour in the morning and maybe a half an hour in the afternoon for kind of helping, and maybe helping with things like showering. Showering bathrooms, they are some of the more difficult areas that grow with dementia, and they must be ready for that. And just, I had to do, for example, I had one of those doors on my shower, and eventually I took that down and put the old-fashioned curtain back on, because Brian found it hard to get in and out of this little door. So you just practically change the things in your house by degrees. I don't know whether you did it for your mother, but
we had to alter a lot of things over time. We had to get things adjusted, OTs and all, you know,
make sure that, as I say,
you're bringing me right back to be honest.
And then you do things like mark the presses. And Brian didn't even know. Brian loved a cup of tea and a biscuit and a cake. But I'd put cakes and biscuits on a press, and I'd put cups and mugs on a press and plates. And say to the man with the dementia, look, this is just to help us to remember where things are. And if Auntie Mary comes in to sit with you, she doesn't know where the cake is, or she doesn't know where the cups are. So I marked all the kitchen presses.
Nora, you are, I know you're not trying to be or anything, but you are impressive in what you're saying. I mean, such fortitude, but such kindness and such practicality in the face of what is a hard thing, and I know it is, and it's hard emotionally as well.
It is, and you must be ready for moments when, as it progresses a bit, where you say to, oh yes, there's another thing, talk a little bit slower, because I was a fast talker, and not too many instructions at the one time. So if you want, if I wanted Brian to get me something in the kitchen, I had to be careful. I had to just say to him, go to the kitchen and get a plate. But I couldn't say, go to the kitchen, get a plate, a knife, a fork, a spoon.
And a cup of tea.
A cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I stopped letting him boil kettles and things.
I still remember, it was a land, the first time my mother didn't know who I was, you know, and kind of looked at me blankly. And then she said to me, you have kind eyes. And used to refer to me afterwards as, you're that girl with the kind eyes. She had no notion who I was.
Yes.
But she kind of knew there was affection between us. Just, does that make sense?
Yes,
she kind of knew she liked me, but she didn't
really know
why. And I don't know what to say about it. I took something from that, to be honest.
Yes. And there's no need to feel bad if you have a little cry. And if you're kind of something happens and there's another drop. The sad thing about dementia and Alzheimer's is that if Brian used to get a few chest infections, the minute he got one, I'd get the antibiotic. I know people say not too many, because the infection would drop him down. It was like steps of stairs, the landing. You might be up on the top landing to start with, then you might find you've gone down three steps.
Yeah.
And then you might drop five steps if you get a bad infection.
And so
things that you could do yesterday or remember yesterday might be gone today. So, and that can be quite distressing.
Concurrent infection makes dementia worse, because people get delirium on top of dementia. They don't know
but
then they can come back to a bit more lucidity afterwards.
They come back and they get the antibiotic, and then Brian used to sit here, and suddenly I'd hear him singing. Brian was sang Spanish and Italian songs. He didn't speak those languages, but he had
sang
learned the songs, and I'd hear him singing them here with all the words, and the same with the choir now. And if by any chance there's something like a choir or a group in this girl's neighborhood,
I just want to
join us.
Thank you for speaking to me so beautifully about Brian, and you've reminded, it actually nearly brought me to tears there for a second. I had to contain myself. But you did. But also, you're right. My mum, I said she was non-verbal. She couldn't talk to us. She lost the ability to converse at all.
Yes.
She still sang songs and she knew the lyrics. It's a strange bit of our brain, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, poor old Brian now has gone down very badly, and he didn't get the virus, but he doesn't speak or he doesn't walk anymore.
So
we're going through that, and that's reminded me to say, like you did, to just give a real act of appreciation to Tony Houlihan.
Yeah.
What a man.
Yeah.
Most people didn't know he had this behind him in his home, and he was still there every evening. He was like a really comforting uncle every evening.
And every evening, 7 days a week.
I mean, it was
extraordinary. And we do owe him a debt of gratitude. Thank you so much.
Joined by his young nephew, Leo, you know, who was also very comforting. But Tony Houlihan, God bless you for helping us through this.
And look, God bless you as well, Nora, for coming on and speaking and sharing that personal
story.
Thank you very much. That's Nora Owens there, former Minister for Justice, but talking about her husband, Brian. I do remember, we're talking about Alzheimer's. I remember my mother, as I said, she lost the ability to converse. We couldn't talk or anything. But the day she died, she did not, I mean, it's comical in a way, but, you know, all day long she sang Paddy McGinty's Goat, and we sat around the bed knowing she was dying and didn't know whether to laugh or cry. And that is life, lads. That is absolutely life. Peter is on the line. Peter, you have gone through this as well as Nora, as well as me. Tell me what advice you would have for our listener.
Well, you see, I don't have advice as such. I mean, you know, I would echo what Nora said. Like, it's a shocking disease.
Yeah.
My mum, sorry, is currently going through it.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible thing to deal with.
I know, Pat, I do. How old is your mum?
She is 78,
okay.
77,
I think. And has she had dementia long?
Two, 3 years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's hard. It's very hard.
Look, would you stop? It's terrible. I spoke to her yesterday, and she's in James's. And I said, "Mum, how are you?" And she said, "I'm fine. I'm in the Mater Hospital." You know,
at least she knew she was in hospital. My mother was in a nursing home and she thought she was on her holidays in a hotel, which is kind of nice in a way, but she hadn't a notion where she was. But it was nice that she was looking on the bright side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look.
It's a terrible thing.
I know it is. What I would say about James's, because I used to work there, the medicine for the elderly section in James's is fabulous. It's a really good, good service.
Yeah. And it's good. It's good. And it's great that you're highlighting this. But, God, it's a shocking.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing.
Is she still with you in parts? Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, no, she's fine. No, she's still coherent to a sense. But she kind of, if you say to her, "Mum, how are you?" "I'm grand, yeah. How are you? How are you? And how's Ali?" That's my wife. And she'll keep repeating this.
Yeah,
you know.
At least she knows Ali. At least I remember my youngest going in to see her one day in the nursing home, and she said, "Oh, you're a lovely little boy." He went up to her and she said, "What's your name?" She didn't know who he was. And he said, "My name is Blaise." And she said, "I have a grandson called Blaise." And I was quite impressed she remembered that. And he goes, "It's me," like this. And then she, of course, started roaring laughing because she was still funny, even though she was really not there in many ways. But
I know what you mean.
All you can do is cling to the good bits.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's all you can do.
Look, Peter, thank you. I can hear the emotion there, so I'm going to let you go because I know it's hard. But thank you for speaking to us. 53106, we are talking for advice. We're looking for advice, really, from a listener who has got a diagnosis just now of her dad with Alzheimer's and is obviously upset with the whole thing. 53106, let's take a break.
Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly on News Talk.
Now, you're welcome back to Lunchtime Live with Ciara. Lovely, lovely texts coming in about that conversation on Alzheimer's and indeed on Nora Owen. Beautiful. Our journey was a long one with our wonderful mum. She taught us to live in the moment. See Understand Together, the website. Fabulous resources there. Also, the Alzheimer's Society are great. Also, lots of support from the health services. That's from Sheila. Ciara, my mum is currently going through this, heading to the non-verbal stage. She's in a nursing home in Wicklow. My dad is there too, separate rooms. I feel she has lost the will to live, as was relatively okay until about 5 weeks ago. Today, I am so sad. I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh my God, Ciara, Nora Owen for Taoiseach. What an absolute legend. And Ciara, I hear the sadness in your voice.
Yeah, well, we'll move on from that because otherwise we won't get to the end of the show. And Margaret says, what a wonderful, amazing, practical woman. Her advice is gold dust and so thoughtful. Yeah, it was wonderful to talk to Nora Owen there, and such insight and dignity and kindness that she was radiating, I have to say.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.